Good. So let's begin. So, having taken in our, I don't know, our connectivity across the world and the uplift that that can bring, we can gently allow ourselves to withdraw from the stimulation of looking at the screen or whatever you've just been doing and gently turn inward. One of the people here told me that she gently, gradually closes her eyes, not all at once, but maybe just limiting the range of sight, first of all, to perhaps just in front of you. Maybe just noticing one or two objects that you're aware of with your eyes, the microphone in my case, my robe against the cushion. And gradually allowing the eyelids to close. Ah, and I notice that the silence feels very pronounced in contrast to busyness of our morning so far, trying to get the kitchen sorted out before the meta, so we still have time to prepare the lunch. And emotionally adjusting to being with so many people on Zoom. Hopefully, for all of us, we're not just faces on the screen, but there's a sense of friendship, familiarity, perhaps curiosity, and but also some ease. And just allowing yourself to breathe. Allowing the breath to fully expand your chest and belly region. Perhaps slightly exaggerating that breath as you breathe in fully. And then fully release the breath, noticing your chest and then your abdomen deflate. Perhaps noticing a sense of relaxation with the out breath, allowing the body to just soften some more. Perhaps feeling that connection with the ground a little more intimately as your muscles start to relax, yield to the support of the ground. Continuing to breathe fully, a little more fully than usual, but without any strain. For a few more breaths, enjoying the feeling of the inhalation, the energizing qualities as the belly expands, and the relaxing feeling as the breath leaves your body. Inviting your body to relax and settle down. And at this time we can still make any adjustments that might help to bring about greater ease in the body and maybe a sense of uprightness as well. So I'm noticing my body slightly slumped. So without losing that sense of being grounded, being stable, just gently stretching through my spine. Notice your own body and what feels good to you. What would give your inner organs the space they need to feel free? Are there any areas of tension or holding, perhaps around your shoulders, your jaw, your brow? You can gently invite to relax. Sometimes physical movement of perhaps rolling your shoulders can help to release tension, or intentionally letting your jaw hang, parting your teeth. Allowing your face to be soft. Really taking time to get to know your body and what it needs right now. To be more relaxed and yet alert, poised for the practice. Enjoying watching your feelings, your sensations change as you bring kind awareness to your body. Perhaps allowing this kind awareness, like the light and warmth of the sun combined, to start spreading naturally, as though you were just receiving the light of the sun. To start soaking it up through your whole body from the top of the head, through your face, including your ears, the back of the head, down into your jaw, your neck, your shoulders, as though the sun were gently caressing your shoulders and your shoulders were soaking up the light and the warmth of the sun. So as the light illuminates, makes clear so many different sensations, it also, the warmth of that sun softens and relaxes them as well. Spreading down your arms to your elbows, through the lower arms, the wrists, the hands and fingertips, all the way to your fingertips. Through each and every finger. Turn your whole arm from the shoulder to the tips of your fingers. Both arms are relaxed. Allowing this kind awareness, like the light and warmth of the sun, to soak through your chest. Around the rib cage, into the belly. Inviting the belly to soften and relax. Perhaps once again noticing the gentle expansion and contraction as the breath enters and leaves your body. And soaking up this warm, kind awareness through your back. From the top of the back, around the shoulder blades, right down your spine and the sides of the back, to your hips. Your buttocks, the lower parts of the trunk. Until the whole upper body, right down to your buttocks. It's saturated with this warm, gentle awareness. Completely soaked through by the sun. Which is now spreading down your thighs, around your thighs, through to the muscles. Picking up any sensations you notice in your thighs. To your knees, and all the way down your lower legs, the shins, the calves, the heels, and right through into your feet. Noticing all the little sensations that are happening in your feet, the bridge of the foot, the sole. The soft area just below the toes, and each and every toe. Right down to the tips of your toes. So the whole leg from the hips, right down your thighs to your knees, your feet and your toes. Suffused with kind awareness, as though they're just soaking up the light and the warmth of the sun. And as we're sitting here, more people have just joined us. So just receiving them into the friendly space. And if you have just joined, just giving your body time to settle and relax. Perhaps imagining that you're just basking in sunshine, which helps you come in contact with all the sensations in your body, giving them space. And offering kindness and friendship to whatever sensations you experience. And with this mindfulness of the body, or kindfulness towards the body established, when we're ready, we can just come in contact with feelings around the chest, if that's comfortable for you. Maybe a very gentle awareness, very spacious. And if that doesn't work, then just being present to any feelings in your body which are fairly neutral or even pleasant, perhaps gentle tingling feelings or a general feeling of ease. And just start wishing yourself well, staying in contact with the feelings that are agreeable. And offering yourself thoughts, wishes of loving kindness. What do you really wish for yourself right now? Maybe happiness or safety, ease, maybe contentment or peace. Just choosing two or three phrases such as, may I be happy? May I be peaceful? May I be liberated? Or whatever works for you. And staying connected to your body, to any feelings in your body that are fairly easy to be with. Just articulating these wishes and pausing in the space between each phrase, staying present to your feelings, and allowing the mind to follow the mood, the thought of loving kindness. You may find you can extend the space between each phrase depending on your state of mind. So if there's a lot of thinking or distraction, you may wish to repeat the phrases more often. But still gently, mindfully, connected to the meaning of each phrase. or if there is some stillness in the mind, perhaps one phrase and a longer pause to feel into that meaning, to allow the mind to quiet, is enough before coming back to the next phrase. Just enjoying the process without looking for or expecting results. Speaking to yourself in a way that's truly kind, sincere, and just enjoying wishing yourself well, enjoying the process without expecting results. Basking in your own kindness. And now, if you wish, I'd like to invite you to think of something in your life right now which is a little bit difficult or maybe painful for you. Nothing very difficult, or just something that could use a little compassion, a little soothing and care. Maybe a pain or sickness in your body. Maybe just the sense of being vulnerable, fragile human being. Perhaps a disappointment. An inner critical voice. Something. That engenders compassion. So perhaps there's a younger, more vulnerable part of you that's reaching out for your care. Just notice something, some experience, physical or emotional, that rouses a sense of compassion. And continue to send yourself good wishes related to being free from that suffering, that disappointment, that pain. So the phrases may change from "may I be happy" to "may I meet this with kindness and care." Or may I be gentle with this sadness. Or perhaps simply may I be free from suffering. And really envisage yourself free from that suffering. Acknowledging its presence with a wide, compassionate heart, and truly wishing yourself relief. And just notice if this changes your experience of loving kindness. Brings a slightly different tone to the practice that you would recognize as compassion. Using phrases that resonate for you. and allowing yourself to feel what you feel and holding it in kindness and care. And staying connected again to your body and the feelings in the body, perhaps around your heart area or anywhere that feels fairly easeful to stay. I'd like you to bring to mind something in your life that's going well. Perhaps some success, maybe at work or a good relationship that's going well, maybe small successes like conversation that was productive, an opportunity to support a friend. Maybe something more general, like your love for meditation, for goodness, for truth. Or a quality that you can see developing in your heart. Something in your life that's going well, that you can delight in and find joy when you reflect on it. You might find images arise, or maybe certain feelings. And to increase this joy, this gladness, we can wish, may my happiness increase. May I not be parted from whatever gains I have, whatever safety, whatever blessings, whatever friendships I treasure. May I not be parted from the blessings in my life. And whatever else resonates for you. Wishing your happiness to last and increase. Noticing how this feels as loving kindness transforms into sympathetic or rejoicing joy. Joy for the blessings in your life. Now just opening up your heart and spreading thoughts of good wishes to everyone in this room. May we all be happy. Free from suffering. May our happiness increase. Continuing to allow these wishes to spread in every direction, to exude, to emanate from your body. And spread to all beings in this world. Beings who are happy. Beings who may be sad, suffering in big and small ways. Beings who are enjoying life, enjoying success. Recognizing that all of us have some amount of happiness and sadness in our lives. May all beings be happy, be free from suffering. And may their happiness, their success continue to increase. So if you know our little tradition, you'll know that we do three sadhus now, which is also like saying awesome, or very good, or I rejoice. So we can do it big or small. But the bigger, the happier it tends to be. Sadhu. 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 My shoulder's strange, so yes, this is how kind everyone is around me. They don't want me to hurt my shoulder. I completely forgot. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, it did click. Maybe it's good. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just a skeleton under a lot of flesh, as are all of you. But anyway. Yeah, if anyone in here feels that they need to get on with the kitchen things, you're welcome. Slowly, slowly. We have a few more minutes left for any comments or questions from the Zoom group. So I don't know. I didn't know what I was going to do this morning. I hope it didn't show. But I thought, why not focus on ourselves and actually look at all those different parts of our lives and our minds, some parts that hurt sometimes, some parts that are happy, and see if the metta can extend and change or mutate perhaps into compassion and mudita as well. They're really just different aspects of love, different ways that love meets the situation, the emotions, the moods of our lives. In ways that are intelligent and appropriate. So I don't know. I'd be curious to know how that was for you, for anyone. You can write in the chat or raise your hand. I'd like to know if you could feel any difference there, how maybe the meta changed. Anyone would like to share? Would you like to share anything? I'm asking Jiren because she only has like a few minutes left here before she goes back to Malaysia.
The metta meditation really makes me connect to my body really well and relax all my body parts, and I suppose this is a type of kindness to my body. And another thing is it helps me to calm my mind down, and people mindful helps in mindfulness, and overall helps in developing my kindness and compassion. Yeah. So yeah, it's really lovely to have this.
Great. Excellent. Wow. People who already have a lot of kindness and compassion can develop it even more. That's what the Buddha said. If you see wholesome states, then continue to develop them day and night. You can abide happy and glad. Continuing to develop. Okay, we have some comments in the chat. Thanks for a lovely meditation. Bearing witness to suffering comes to mind. I felt my body start to relax in places I didn't realize there was so much tension. The smallest of places. Lovely meditation, by the way. Excellent. So I have to go. Thank you very much. A very nice meditation. Please do go when you need to. That's totally fine. The phrase, may I meet this experience with kindness and care, made a huge switch for me towards a very peaceful place. Thank you. Excellent. Sometimes it's interesting. If we are sort of language oriented, I tend to be quite responsive to language. Sometimes just finding a phrase that works for us, that connects us and feels real, right? This is why I don't like to just say these particular phrases, but give a few options. And yeah, sometimes it's what we need. So great. I feel like an organic, it felt like an organic gentle extension of last night's sutta session. Meeting vulnerability with compassion created contentment. Wonderful. That's nice that you could relate that to the contentment. Then there's some messages on how to support our project, which I'm sure you all know very well. I think reflecting like this over and over will culminate in equanimity, the purest of the Brahma Viharas. Yeah, purest. They're all pretty pure. Like if they reach their completion, they're entirely pure in and of themselves. But equanimity is probably the most mature in a sense. And I agree that, you know, when we practice these particular Brahma Viharas, metta, compassion, and mudita, in a sense, they all build on each other. And when we do come to that place of equanimity, it's including those, isn't it? And that's what's so beautiful, because we already realize there are so many different emotional realms. You know, there is really a pure experience of compassion. There's a pure experience of mudita. And they're all very true and very real, and yet not complete in and of themselves, in a sense, right? Because we need different things at different times. And even though we can have compassion for the suffering, we can have mudita and joy with what's going well in the world and in our minds, in the end, we don't have a lot of control over these things. We can do our best, but equanimity is the sort of, you know, even though I may wish for all beings to be free from suffering, even though I may wish happiness, people go according to their karma, right? Life unfolds according to cause and effect. And whilst we do our best, there's also that bigger perspective of being able to look on with understanding and acceptance of that. Yeah. I think equanimity is almost like, it's like widening our perspective even more, isn't it? To be even more all-encompassing of the happiness and the suffering in life. Yeah. So that seemed a bit beyond the scope of this, but I think you're right. We don't even need to try to force it. I used to practice in the Goenka tradition, which emphasizes equanimity above everything, equanimity towards impermanence in particular, but towards all suffering and happiness, pleasure and pain. And whilst it was incredibly productive of a real kind of calm sense of stability and resilience in the face of the ups and downs of life, it also felt a little bit like we were trying to be equanimous, you know, almost not forced, but a little bit a bit like the sort of how a spiritual person should be. I think it did go to a deep level to a degree, but I'm not sure it had the emotional juice that it would have through the cultivation of equanimity as a Brahma Vihara. It's a little bit different, perhaps a bit more superficial. So. Yeah, different types of equanimity as well. Great way to start the weekend. Thank you. A lot more peaceful, not easy, but precious to connect with our own vulnerability. The Brahma Viharas feel clearer when seen as how a doctor relates to their patients skillfully. That's interesting. The doctor relating to patients is normally a simile for compassion, because normally a patient is ill. But I quite like the one of a mother, how she relates to her children at different stages of their life. Like, a mother has general sense of goodwill towards the child, but then when a child gets sick, the meta is more like compassion. The whole wish of the mother is, may the child recover, may they be free from this sickness. So it's a very tender and it's very nurturing, focused on their freedom from suffering. And then the mother would be more likely to feel mudita when the child is, say, doing well at school, finding their feet in life, experiencing some success, maybe good friendships, etc. Then she feels, oh, this is so great, and she rejoices with them. And then the equanimity could be when the child leaves home and the mother has that little bit more distance. She still has compassion when they're sick. She still has mudita when they're doing well. She still has a generalized sense of well-wishing, the metta for the child. But there's also a sense of, they have to live their own life now. They're going out into the world, they're adults, and I can be there when they need me. But basically, they have to follow their path. And that's like the equanimity that comes into that relationship, which is developed over time. So, yeah, but if the doctor simile makes sense to you, that's great as well. On a tangent, that reminds me of what Ajahn Chah and Ajahn Brahm said to Ajahn Brahm when he had typhus fever. Yeah, he said, you'll either get better or you'll die. Ajahn Brahm later said, you know, appalling bedside manner, but the wisdom was great. So yeah, I don't know that you'd want to say that to someone. And this is Ajahn Chah speaking to a monk who can probably handle it. Didn't have much choice, did he? But he probably knew, you know, that that might have made some sense. So yeah, we have to be careful, you know, we have to make it relevant. And I think that's the purpose of having a bit of familiarity with all the Brahma Viharas, is that there's some kinds of wishes that are more appropriate in some contexts than others. It's not very appropriate to say to someone who's grieving, may you be happy. It's like, can't you see that I'm grieving? I need you to meet me where I am, right? Please don't tell me to be happy. I'm not happy. I'm grieving right now. And what I need is empathy. What I need is compassion, a sense that someone understands. And the same thing, like if somebody's rejoicing and doing well, you don't want someone to say, oh, may you be free from suffering. It's like, why are you bringing my suffering up? I'm doing well right now. So I think it also points towards a certain amount of empathy. I feel like empathy informs actually all of our emotional world, but the Brahma Viharas, because it sort of enables us to, first of all, understand where a person's at and then connect with them there and have an appropriate kind of response. So empathy, something to, yeah, anuddaya, that's one of the words for empathy. Anukampa is also a kind of compassion, but it's an empathetic compassion. It's a compassion that resonates with others. But anuddaya is also the word for empathy in Pali, which is a beautiful word. Thank you. Awesome. So I'll let you go before I keep you too long. And I guess the next time we meet will be probably Wednesday, and I think there's a Friday night sutta, and then I'm in Norway next week, so I travel on Saturday, so there'll be no metta next Saturday. Okay, so take care everyone, and we can unmute you, and if you wish you can say goodbye.